This is The Fix-It Show on WTMJ. Advice and opinions expressed during the program are solely that of the hosts or guests and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC. When it comes to home repairs, we could all use a guy. Well, we've got the guy, and we've got the show. For all your home improvement questions, we've got answers. This is The Fix-It Show on WTMJ. Presented by J&B Construction and Siding Unlimited. Now, here's your host, Dayton Kane and David Nason.
Good morning. The last Saturday of November. December is Monday already.
Yes, it is.
How was hunting? You went hunting last weekend.
I did. Got a buck.
Okay.
Not the one I wanted.
No. You had
buck fever.
You had a specific one in mind?
The one I shot at and didn't get it?
Yes.
Right?
Somebody got it, though, you said, right?
Yeah, very large buck.
And somebody else in
there. I would call him a monster, just the rack on that thing.
It was big. You showed me a photo of it.
Yes. But I did get one. So
venison sticks coming in the next few weeks?
I actually got to take... I do cut up my deer right away where I go hunting. We cut it up that day. Or we skin it and then cut it up. So I came home with my deer in a cooler.
Okay.
So most of it's in the freezer. I do take the trimmings to a place out in Watertown and have as sausage and Polish sausage and other things made, so... That'll be a little bit, yeah.
And Thanksgiving was good?
Mine was, yeah. With some family at my sister's house on Thursday and some friends yesterday. We call it Friendsgiving.
Sure.
Not making that up, but yes. I'm full. I need to fast the rest of the weekend. I'll burn it off shoveling later today.
We had 18 people at our house on Thanksgiving, so it was busy.
That's full. That's a full house.
I'm the bartender. Everybody brings food, right?
Sure.
And I'm the bartender, and then I'm the cleanup crew the next day. That's my job.
Sure.
But it was good. Always good to have family and good food. And my son-in-law smoked the turkeys.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So good.
Excellent.
But here we are.
Yeah.
Another day to talk fixing stuff.
Right.
Last week, we talked a lot about what you could do before the snow hits.
Right, and got
Guess
cold.
What? The snow hit
You're done.
Today. We're going to talk today about what we should be doing now that the snow is hitting.
Yes, exactly.
So there are certain things that we should and shouldn't do when it comes to throwing salt around the place or scraping off roofs or, you know, where are we throwing our snow against the house?
That's a good point. Yeah.
That sort of stuff. We'll talk through that.
Make sure your neighbor, if you live in a very tight part of the neighborhood or the area, make sure your neighbor's not throwing their snow against your house.
Right. Yeah. So there's things we need to consider, and we'd love to hear questions from you if you have them about... Winter. What are we doing now?
Right.
Is it a thing? Do people switch out snow tires like they used to? I remember as a kid, that was a thing.
Some people do, and I think, especially if you have a rear-wheel drive car still.
You're still doing
there
the snow tire?
There still are some performance things. Or who was it? It was just telling me, my sister's boyfriend. He put his snow tires on his truck.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there are some people that still swap out tires for winter.
Yeah, so I think there are some. But
I remember the chains people used to put on there.
But literally everybody used to put snow tires on.
Yeah.
But before we had these all-season radials,
right?
You know, that can really handle the snow better.
So it's not as big as it used to be.
I remember
that was always a yearly ritual. Got to put on the snow tires.
Yeah.
So, 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. No guests this hour, so we're open to talk about anything.
Yeah.
If you have questions about fixing something at the house, next hour is going to be Jason Fox from Capital. So, we'll be talking about all the interior stuff.
Or we could talk about that. Did the Packers really get that timeout called in time?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? If they missed that call, there were several pass interference calls that they showed
holding.
The shot. Over the ref's shoulder, of
he
the
was looking,
one
that
he's
one holding
directly at it,
right
and
at
he
it.
Doesn't call it. I'm like,
and then like the next position for the Lions, they call the pass interference on away from the play, and he was barely, holding him. So
the refs aren't perfect.
It goes either way, but
eventually AI is going to be calling all the shots, and we'll see how it goes. But.
Okay.
It is a Fix-It Show. We will talk with you if you want to talk with us. 855-616-1620. Isaac is in the producer's studio ready to answer your call. Thanks for listening to WTMJ this morning.
Oh, the weather outside.
The Fix-It Show with Dayton Kane and David Nason on WTMJ.
It's another thing we need to discuss is fireplaces.
Yeah.
Isaac's playing some Christmas music, but it ties in. It's frightful outside, but inside it's delightful if you make your fireplace work properly. So this might be the first time people get in that mood, like, oh, let's fire up the fireplace.
Yeah.
What should we be looking for when we do that? I know we talked a little bit about that last week.
Yeah, and having inspections done. I guess if you're going to use your fireplace, and if it's a wood burner, I think I mentioned this last week, you got to start a little fire.
Warm it up.
Start a little fire. Get slowly. The flue warming. If you put fire starter material in there and stack up there, and absolutely do not put any kind of evergreen. Well, it's too early probably to put your wreaths and parts of your Christmas tree in there.
Lighter fluid. Can I throw that on there?
Right. Yeah. Hey, you get a fire cranking in there right away, and that chimney, if it's a masonry chimney, the flue tiles, if those are cold and you get a hot fire in there, they're going to try to expand too quickly because they do expand.
Yeah.
They're going to crack. And that's when you're going to have problems. It gets very expensive to repair that.
So like to the tune of 10, 15 grand to get in and fix a chimney up.
So start a small fire, get it going, make sure you got a good draft going.
Make sure the flue is open.
Yeah, make sure. Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, as it's going, get a little bit more wood on it. So if you're thinking people are coming, you know, today at, you know, 1 o'clock or something, maybe get it started, you know, start working on it at about 11 or so. You know, get your fire going, so that by the time your guests get there or so, you got some nice embers going, and you maybe, you know, now you really got it. And then you don't have to, all you got to do is put another log on it every once in a while. Yeah. You're not worrying about getting your fire started when they get there. So start your fire early.
The first house I ever had a fireplace, I made the mistake of not opening the flue. I didn't know. So I started the fire, and all of a sudden the house is filling up with smoke. I'm like, what is going on? So yeah, don't forget that.
Yeah.
Crucial step.
Absolutely.
All right. So winter's here. Like the snow, we're looking at 8 to 11 inches of snow, they're saying. And sometimes it seems like hype, but looking at the radar, it looks like it's going to be.
It's coming.
And it's going to sit kind of like that rain did in August. It's kind of slowly coming in, and it's kind of going to sit there at the lake shore.
And we might get some lake effect snow for all you living here in the counties and areas along the lake.
So when we go out. And now, I remember when I lived in Shorewood, we had a long driveway that went back to the garage that was behind the house, right? And so my neighbor's house, I could hear them sneeze. Like we would say gesundheit to each other when somebody sneezed. It was that close, right? Yeah. So I remember I used to have to snow plow the snow forward towards the street until I got past the houses, and then I could turn it to the right and throw it in my front yard.
Yeah. So basically house, driveway, house, driveway, house, driveway. And I talk about that all the time on inspections. And we're trying to, you got to make the best, you know, you can of that situation and try to, you know, get good grading around your house. Well, when there's a driveway a foot and a half or whatever from your house, there's not much room there. So it's very important that your neighbor, you talk to your neighbor, get to know your neighbors, and please don't pile all your snow right alongside my house or blow it at my house kind of thing. You're not being a good neighbor if you do that, because as you say, you got to push it forward, because if you're piling all that snow up along that, it's just going to melt and then end up, you know, in their basement probably.
Yeah.
And so you don't want the other neighbor to the other side of you doing that. So don't do it to your neighbor either. And yes, it can be difficult, as you know.
I know. I had
especially
to deal
in big snow, trying to, you know, if you don't have a
wet, heavy snow,
big snowblower to can blow it 20 feet. Yeah. If you're just shoveling, you know, they're saying this is supposed to start out as a light, fluffy snow, but if it starts coming off the lake, then with the lake not frozen and still kind of warm, quote unquote, warm compared to the air temperature, it's going to that'll turn into a heavy, wet snow.
Yeah. I have a question. I was at a house one time and they had taken all their leaves from the fall and put them in trash bags and had them stacked all around their foundation outside the house. Is that a good idea? I looked at it and went, I don't know that I would do that.
In plastic bags?
Yeah. Okay. So, like, you think the mice aren't going
to... So if you drive out more rural areas, and where did I see it? Oh, when I was up hunting, we drove past a house with hay bales stacked around the house, but two rows high of hay bales around the house.
Huh.
And they used to do that all the time. In more like farmhouses and stuff, first they have the hay, bales of hay, but secondly they're doing doing that for insulation because houses weren't insulated, they're drafting and things. But you know, stacking hay bales, maybe you don't know, but stacking hay bales around the perimeter of your house, come spring, when you, if you pull those off, you are going to find so much mice, you know, homes from mice and
voles,
you know, chipmunks, everything. That, so you're really attracting animals.
Yeah.
And I imagine if you're putting bags of leaves, they'll just chew on the bags and make homes and nests in there. So not the best idea. You're probably better off working from the inside and insulating your box sills and making sure all the gaps around your windows. You know, make sure your basement windows are closed and latched. We talk about your house, windows in your house. You should, and that's another thing, go around and make sure your windows are locked so that they actually seal up. Same thing with your basement windows. Every once in a while, see a basement window that's partially, you know, it's not closed all the way. It's not locked. Well, water's getting in there, and that's where mice get in and stuff like that. So
I actually found a window
check all that.
The other day. I was put in, so I have half screens.
Mm-hmm.
So I put them up at the top because we always lower our top sash.
Sure.
Well, in the winter, I push them down to the bottom, so we're looking out a clear, you know.
Mm-hmm.
One of the windows wasn't closed all the way.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, good thing I'm doing this, because it could have gone all winter like that, because you don't think about checking your windows once it gets cold, because you just keep them closed.
If you have storm windows, I still have storm windows, just we can get into it, because I have older windows, but we got to close your storm windows too.
Yeah. Go around, make sure all your windows are closed and locked.
Right.
And that's a good thing. All right, we're going to take a break. We'd love to hear from you, 855-616-1620. That is the Siding Unlimited WTMJ Talk and Text Line, and this is The Fix-It Show.
WTMJ's The Fix-It Show with David Nason and Dayton Kane.
Thank you for joining us. Winter storm warning until 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. 8 to 11 inches of snow expected with a high of 33 today.
Roads weren't bad on the way in.
Temperature-wise, it's not bad.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of wind, at least when I came out this morning. Yesterday was perfect outside to put up the Christmas lights, which is what I did, so that was nice.
Yep.
Beat the snow. But so let's talk about that. We talked about the proper execution of getting snow away from the house. Do we salt then? Is it a good idea to salt? Where should you salt? Should we not salt?
I don't salt.
Okay. You are salty, but you don't salt.
Because I'm a sailor? Wow. I don't salt.
It's bad for the concrete?
It really is.
Yeah.
I say I had a driveway put in 2002 or something, and it looks very, very good. A, we don't salt it. B, we rarely park on it like overnight.
Yeah.
We always have parked in our garage. So you don't have all the salt falling off your car. And
so how's your garage floor look?
Well, the garage floor looks terrible, but it's also 70, 80 years old at least, or maybe older. And it's cracked and everything. So, that's a whole different story, but salt is corrosive. It's very, very hard on your driveway, on your sidewalk, and especially if you have pavers or stamped concrete. I always put a little comment in my reports, you know, looks in good condition, but use something other than salt, you know, in the winter conditions, this ice melt product.
Sure.
I don't know exactly what's in it, but something other than salt, it would be a good idea. I think what I try to do is get out and shovel as soon as possible.
Right.
And don't just leave it and don't let it turn into ice. A, don't let it turn into ice. B, don't, if at all possible, let your downspouts spill onto your paved areas, your sidewalk, your driveway. Because now you got water when it does melt off your roof. And it's just spilling onto your driveway, sidewalk. It's going to freeze again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so that's now we gotta salt that or something to get rid of the ice. So try to divert or turn your downspout somewhere else.
Definitely don't throw salt on your roof.
Oh,
I've seen people that have done that. So roof raking, we're gonna rake our roof.
Yeah.
That's to prevent ice dams, right? That's not for the weight of the snow necessarily, although that helps, right? Getting some of the weight off.
If you get 11
inches, if you get 11 inches of snow on
your
roof.
Heavy wet snow? That can be a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Possibly.
But we're going up, 3 to 4 feet above the gutter
really
line?
Just need to expose the edge of the roof. You need to, if possible, you need to get past that where the exterior wall is.
Okay.
So if you can,
because that's where
that,
the heat's hitting the sheathing.
Coming out of the roof or out of the attic, your heat loss. And then it's melting the snow. So if you picture that 8-inch blanket of snow on your roof, It's melting the snow that's along the roof, the very bottom layer of snow, and that then runs down your roof. If you don't rake, that'll run down your roof, and as soon as it gets past that exterior wall where there's no heat, well, now that part of the roof is cold and the gutter is cold, so now it freezes in there, and then more is melting up above, and it's freezing this cycle, and pretty soon the gutter is full of ice, and it builds up, and it creates a dam, and all the water, you got a little pool of water, like a lake of water in there, like you see in a reservoir, there's a dam holding all the water back. Well, then it starts backing up underneath your shingles, and there's the problem.
Yeah. So roof rake if you can. Yeah. Well, a lot safely. Of people, second story, you're not probably roof raking.
Now, I tried.
Don't get on a ladder and try to get up and roof. Is that what you did?
I have.
Oh, no, don't do that in
but
the winter.
But be as safe as you can. I figure if I fall off the ladder, hopefully
there's enough snow,
a cushion of snow to catch me. But I'm only going up a couple steps. Yeah, absolutely not standing up on the top of a ladder, or 6-8 rungs up. If I'm falling, I'm falling a few feet. I just need a little bit of elevation to get, these roof rakes. Some of them, get three extensions, You can kind of, get it up there, but be safe no matter what you're doing.
All right, the texts are rolling in. We'll get to those when we come back. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. It is a Fix-It show. Let's say good morning to Elizabeth Lintonen in the WTMJ Breaking News Center. Good morning.
Good morning, Dayton.
More of your questions next. It's the Fix-It show on WTMJ.
Pretty hardcore going on at Pfizer or the Eagles Ballroom tonight. Seven Dust is going to be there. So if you like a good old-fashioned rock show, we'll see. I mean, some things are starting to close already because of this winter storm warning that's going on. So I don't know how they announce those things, like how you would know. So if you have a ticket to that, you may want to check the Raves the website before you head out there.
Well, aren't all tickets like digital these days or anything? Or wherever
so you probably get an email saying, hey, this is canceled.
Is Ticketmaster still around?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, imagine they put out notifications. Everything's on your phone, right?
Have you ever been everything. To a Seven Dust show?
Have I been? Yeah. Who?
Seven Dust.
I went to Five Dust.
Five Dust, yeah? You're a couple, couple behind. All right, let's go to some texts at 855-616-1620. In years past, I've never heard of raking the roof. Why has that become a thing? What changed? Maybe you just never heard of it, because I think I remember my grandfather doing it back in the day. So it's been a thing for a while.
Been around, but I think just the understanding of what causes ice dams. A lot of people thought, well, it's, too much snow on your roof or other things, but it's really heat loss. It's heat loss from your attic.
Right.
So understanding the whole science of how a house works and the fact that we do need to have as much insulation as possible in that attic, especially where the roof comes down. Now you got you got a limited area there, but then ventilation is important.
You still need ventilation. Yeah.
So it's all got to work together, and so. Understanding that some houses aren't going to perform, especially older houses that maybe don't have a vapor barrier or something that had to help there or as much insulation. Well, the next best thing is to get the snow off your roof.
Some of the best attics I've seen are the old houses that have no insulation and but they dry out, they have air going through them. It's when people start insulating improperly and they start closing up spaces and there's no way for that attic to breathe.
When you say properly, I'll comment on that too. People are like, "Wow, there's no insulation in this attic. Is that a defect?" Well,
no. It's just not efficient.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's you're spending a lot of money. You're losing. You got a lot of heat loss. But you're right. These old attics, they just worked.
Yeah.
They how they're. And I was like, I don't know how much I would change here. Same thing with a roof. When you put a new roof on, everybody wants to put a ridge vent on the roof. Well, it's an older roof and it's got these box vents. Or maybe just gable vents. Is it working? Is there any problems in here? No. Well, then don't change it.
Yeah, right.
Because like you
I
just
tell people
said,
that all the time.
As soon as you start, maybe putting a ridge vent on or you start stacking up insulation in that attic and everything, but you didn't stop. Well, the other bigger thing is the air leaking from the attic.
Right.
So we can go off on that tangent too. So air sealing, we talk about. If you don't stop the air leaking from your house into your attic, but now you piled up all that insulation and you lowered the temperature in your attic, all of a sudden you have a much greater chance for condensation occurring on the roof deck. So a whole bunch of
stuff.
A lot of things going on
in that attic.
So roof raking is a good way to and you don't get up there with something and literally scrape all the granules off your shingles.
Yeah.
If you leave a quarter inch or 3/8 inch of snow on the roof, fine.
Yeah.
You don't have to get it down to all you see is shingle.
My roof rake has little wheels on it, so it keeps it off the shingle and rolls down with. So there's still a little snow left there, but you're getting it where it can melt when the sun hits it.
If you got 8 inches of snow on your roof, if you pull 7.5 off, leave it.
Perfect.
Don't go back.
I just wanted to chime in.
Yes.
Say roof raking was my favorite chore as a kid. Really? So it's at least been around for the last 20 years or so.
There you go.
Favorite chore?
It's so satisfying to watch.
This is the guy who plays the pressure washer video game.
Yes, it's fun. Power wash simulator.
Seriously?
I'm currently power washing a UFO.
Okay.
They just released the sequel, Power Wash Simulator 2. I haven't bought it yet.
Wow.
But soon.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So thanks, Isaac. I love it. Okay, here's another text at 855-616-1620. Is it okay for the company that plows the apartment driveway across the street to push it to the other side and dump it on your parking area? That I think would be if the two buildings are owned by the same company.
Yeah,
if like you're in the same complex, management complex. They can put the snow wherever they're told to put it. Yeah. If it's two different complexes, I'd be calling the owner of the
one you live in.
Yeah, and say, hey, do you know this is happening?
Yeah. But yeah, you're in an apartment, you're kind of at the I don't know. You don't have much to say. You don't have much to say about that.
Yeah. Another one
here. Just hoping that they get it plowed.
Good morning. What is your opinion on the best surface product to apply to a concrete garage floor? I want to protect from road salt and to avoid a slippery surface.
Yeah. So there's many companies that do garage floors now. Matt Hefter, CertaPro Painters, they did my front porch. They didn't do my garage yet because my garage is in such bad shape, my floor. But when and if I get that floor replaced, I'll have them do my floor. Polyurea, or I think you also use a polyaspartic. These are versus a polyurethane.
Right.
So these products are more flexible. They stay flexible in colder temperatures. And then they can add that product in the last coat, that prevents it from getting slippery. So those are good products. I would check with CertaPro Painters on that.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more of your calls and texts at 855-616-1620. That's the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. No guests this hour, so we can tackle any topic that you have. It is the Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
Need advice? Call 855-616-1620. Our expert home inspector is here to help. It's the Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
Dayton Kane and David Nason with you. Good morning. There is a winter storm warning in effect until 6 a.m. tomorrow. 8 to 11 inches of snow expected with a high of 33 today. Let's go to the phones. 855-616-1620. This text says, I wish I'd known about starting a big fire first. We talked about when you fire up that fireplace, start it small. And then keep adding as you go. You got to warm everything up going up through the chimney. It says, we have a slight crack in the back next to the little sliding vent, but we never feel a draft. Does air come in and go up the chimney, or do I need a mason? Well, you have to seal that up. Otherwise, that smoke could get into your walls, into your attic.
So, something like that. I mean, so what they're talking there is probably a masonry fireplace.
Yeah.
So you got fire brick in there. That's different than the brick on the outside of your house or even on the front of your fireplace. This is a brick that can withstand that heat and fire mortar. Also, it's a different type of mortar in there than, again, on the outside of your house. And again, it's to be able to withstand the heat that's in there. Because a wood-burning fire, you can't get, once it's going, you can't literally like stick your hand in there. But if you have a gas log, a lot of gas logs have the valves in there, you can stick your hand right in there. Most of that heat's going directly up, and the wood fire is burning all around.
Right,
but so the temperatures are much higher, much more intense. That fireplace also probably has masonry block around it that's going up, forming the chimney, and then the brick or stones on it. So it's not as critical, but it does need to be looked at. It really should be.
Yeah.
So if it's just a hairline crack, you may not, if you're not feeling a draft, And it may not be that critical yet, but it's going to be at some point. So you would need to talk to a chimney or a fireplace company, quality fireplace and chimney out in Waukesha, Humble Sweeps in Milwaukee area, Chimney Concepts, yeah. You know, depending on where you're on, Chimney Concepts up in Port Washington, they cover kind of the northern part of Milwaukee. But the other companies are here in the Milwaukee area. So that'd be somebody you could have them come in there, take a look at it. And if you're also concerned, have them do a level 2 inspection, you know, where they stick the camera up the flue and see what the rest of the flue looks like as well.
That inspection is what made me get rid of my chimney. There was a lot wrong with it. A lot of cracks throughout the whole thing. And it was just like, you know.
If it hasn't been taken care of, that can be the issue or the problem. And, you know, now you got to decide, okay, do you just line it and now you just have gas logs? Or in your case, you know, you just abandon it.
Yeah. We didn't need it. Didn't have the furnace. We got the furnace out of there. Mm-hmm. We have an electric water heater, so that wasn't venting out of it. So we just took it down.
Yeah.
We took it down.
Yeah,
you and I.
Right. And it didn't take much.
No. 855-616-1620. A number of years ago, I installed a battery backup on my sump pump. Last year, I had a whole house generator installed. Do I still need the battery backup? That's a good question.
No.
It's the electricity is going to kick on through the generator.
Yeah,
and
at this point,
go.
You don't expect to be without power. So your regular pump, but I would still check your pump, the regular pump. We were talking about that last week about checking your pump. And if you don't get much water in your drain tile system or in your sump crock, you should be able to have a way that you can pour water into it to make that pump work. So yeah, go ahead and donate the battery backup system to a family member or somebody, you know, and to help them out who doesn't have a generator. But the generator is definitely the way to go. You don't lose power.
Yeah. Text me your address. I'll come pick it up today. Maybe not with the snow coming. Yeah. We're going to take a break. We have one more segment left before we're joined by Jason Fox from Capital. So give us a call or text 855-616-1620. Thank you for listening to the Fix It Show this morning.
David Nason and Dayton Kane. It's the Fix It Show on WTMJ.
It is sponsored each week by Siding Unlimited and J&B Construction. Dayton and David here. Next hour, we're joined by Jason Fox from Capital. So get your calls and texts ready for anything inside mechanically in your home. Plumbing, heating, cooling, electric. They're doing it all now.
Right, so. Right. Somebody just texted in and said, electricity isn't the only reason for a pump failure. Yes, but we're talking specifically a battery backup.
Yeah, that's
it's
only
not a
for
bad
electric.
Idea to have a backup pump, of course.
Right.
But if you have a generator, now you're not worried about losing power.
Correct.
So the battery backup's not necessary. That's why I was talking about always making sure your pump works, testing it every once in a while and everything. And having a backup, it's not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea at all. No. Okay. So we've been talking a lot about the weather that's hitting us right now, and we're not going to salt our roof.
No,
we're going to roof rake if we have to. We're going to throw the snow away from the house. We're not going to pile it up on our neighbor's house if we live close to them. Salt, you're like no salt if you can get away with it.
That's me.
My gutters do pour onto my sidewalk, so I need to redirect those.
Try to divert them somewhere else.
What else should we do? I covered my air conditioning unit.
Good.
So that's covered. So that not like the full-blown
turn the breaker
bag,
off.
But yep, turn the breaker off.
Turn the breaker off to your AC unit.
What else? Yeah. Is there anything
we
else
should have saved that for
snow-wise
Jason.
That we need to be worried about? Anything you've seen people do?
You know, well, remove the snow. You know, shovel. You know, get out there. You know, and if you're in an area and you know there's somebody next, you know, lives a neighbor or something who is older, elderly, has something, you know, get out and help them. You know, get your sidewalks cleared and help them so that people aren't slipping and falling. And I mean, do the best you can, I guess, in that
situation.
One
thing that I've done twice in my life is I'll be out with my snowblower and I'll pull back on it to try to back it up. And I'm on ice and I don't even know it. And I slip and I fall and I hit my head.
Mm-hmm.
I actually gave myself a concussion once when I was doing that. So I have the little grippy things that I put on my boots now so that I'm actually gripping into the ice so that doesn't happen.
Right. I have those. Yeah, that's a good idea.
So
doesn't
throw those on
much.
Your boot. Yeah, no, they're cheap and they work. They actually keep
great
you
little
from
present
falling.
For the person in your family who's out there shoveling and snow blowing.
Yeah, so be careful. If you got a bad back and you're shoveling, take it easy, take it slow, little at a time. Don't try to be He-Man and shove it over full scoops at a time because right. that'll hurt the next day.
Exactly.
But there's a lot of things to consider when you're, you know, when this snow starts rolling in.
Yes. Definitely Snowmageddon.
Take your time on the roads. Don't go speeding past people because you're in a truck and you think you're invincible. Yeah. Even with the 4x4, that doesn't stop ice.
It doesn't allow you to stop any quicker.
Right.
You might be able to go faster and then get going and go faster and everything, but stopping is...
Yeah, if you hit ice, it doesn't matter if you
doesn't matter what you're driving.
What's people driving back with deer? Like you said, yours comes home in a cooler.
We butcher our deer right there in the hunting shack, and it comes back in a cooler, all ready to go in the freezer.
I saw something that I didn't know was illegal. I was mentioning to people, I saw somebody with an albino deer on the back of their truck, and they're like, ooh, that's a
There's
no-no.
One out in the Oconomowoc area.
You're not supposed to shoot them, though, I guess.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either, but somebody told me when I said that. I'm like, it was pretty neat. I saw an albino deer. They're like, oh, you're not supposed to shoot those.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I heard.
That's so news to me.
So when it comes to the hunting shack, if you're not up there all the time, how do you winterize that? Or do you just sit there?
No.
Keep it at a 50-degree temperature?
My uncle and my cousin, they run a well pump business.
Okay.
They know all about water. So they're doing, they just winterize it. You know, it's on its own. I don't think it's probably tied into the septic system of the house because it's behind my uncle's house.
Okay.
Up there. Yeah. It's about the coolest hunting shack ever. People come from all around Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night and hang out at our hunting shack.
Nice.
We usually regulate it to get 30 to 40 people in our shack.
Really? You know, that's a party.
Talking hunting stories and having a couple cold ones and the amount of venison that we have from last year put out. Every night there's a spread of great food and good times.
Sounds like a fun time. Well,
lamenting the deer you missed the day before.
I was going to say, next hour you're going to tell Jason about the big buck you missed this
right,
year.
Right, exactly.
Okay, we are going to take our final note here for this hour. Jason Fox is in next hour. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. If you have questions, we'd love to hear from you, and thank you for listening.
This has been the Fix-It Show on WTMJ, presented by J&B Construction and Siding Unlimited. Advice and opinions expressed during the program are solely that of the hosts or guests and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.